Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Suddenly Roast. It's December the 24th, aka Christmas Eve. I'm Phil Carroll.
And I'm Kevin Hornsby.
It's that time of year, the roundup of the 12 stocks of 2023. If you could sum up the market in one word or even one sentence, what would it be, Kev?
Schizophrenic.
Schizophrenic. Okay.
One week or 2 weeks, it's flying and we think everything is going to start looking okay. And then the very next day or the next week, we're in a downtrend again. But I think it's not one word, but I think the market has turned. I think it has turned. We've seen the all share or the AIM all share move up off the lows, and we've seen resource plays start to improve. We've seen the copper price start to increase. We've seen the dollar break down a little bit from its highs this year. And we also are seeing indications of interest rates peaking and probably going to fall, in my view, faster than everybody thinks, because ultimately now we're talking about recession again, you know, certainly in the UK, it's a possibility. Why? Probably because they went too fast with the interest rates, or they went too big and they're going to have to row back. And that's my view. That is going to be a very, very, very positive tailwind for the markets in general, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, as you rightly said, I mean, 2023 has highlighted the growing weakness in the AIM market, the junior section of the London Stock Exchange. And I think we looked at the Asian markets. The Nikkei was 225 was up 28%. The S&P 500 was up 18%. The ASX was up 5.3%. And the TSX Venture Composite was up 3.7%. So foreign markets have done remarkably well, mainly S&P 500 being very good. And obviously the standout being the Nikkei 225, up 28%, which is phenomenal, really, in this year. And they're all up, as I said. But the FTSE AIM All Share Index is down a staggering. It was as low as about 15%. I think it finished the year around the 9% mark when we looked on Google stats earlier. But been a dire year for the junior stock market, for the AIM. And that's what we're kind of using as a barometer to compare against for our portfolio, because they're largely AIM stocks or nano cap stocks in the junior segment.
Yeah, largely some main market ones, but I mean, ultimately they're in the same basket, if you like, in terms of value of shares. Yeah, so the other thing
we need to look at is, and this was a really interesting figure, and it's well worth talking about, is weighing up the market in terms of ability to list, ability to fund. To October of this year, there were only 11 new IPOs on AIM, right? Which is the lowest it's been for 24 years. It's down 27% on 2022 and down 80% on the same period in 2021. So in 2005, when we had everything coming to market, it was bull time, to 2007, before obviously the Lehman crash, there were between 201 and 356 new IPOs between January and August, which makes this 11 number absolutely woeful and pitiful.
Yeah, I mean, 11 is almost zero, isn't it, in comparison to what you've just said. We had a new one come to market there just a couple of days ago, which was a good sign, I think. Pathway Energy, I think it's called.
Energy Pathways.
Energy Pathway, even. Another one I can get wrong. That's good. Energy Pathway, Pathway Energy, whichever way you want to say it.
EPP is the ticker.
EPP is the ticker. And it looks very attractive, I think. We will be talking, I think, to the CEO and chairman in January. But what we've seen as a business, as a PR business, if you like, is that we've taken on three new IPOs in the last couple of months. One that has already come to market, two that will come to market, we think, in the next 6 months. And also, we have two or three firms which are ready to list 24, 25. So what does that tell us about the market?
Well, it tells us that, as you say, that we're starting to see a little bit of return to normality. We're seeing people wanting to invest in companies that maybe, you know, could be close to revenue, etc. And yeah, we're seeing green shoots for sure. I mean, as you say, we've been contacted about, you know, new companies listing, pre-IPOs. We've also been interested in or certainly looking into. And it definitely looks like, you know, London is starting to wake up to the fact that it needs IPOs and new companies, new blood on the stock exchange, because without it, there's no growth there at all, is there?
Yeah, well, the whole reason for stock markets is what is the reason to list on a stock market?
You know, funding and finance, isn't it? That's why they're called capital markets.
Yeah. So the reality is, if there's no capital to go into these companies, they can't do anything. So we seem to have a very strange logic in the UK when we're talking about, oh, they're going to raise. For sure they're going to raise, because they have to raise, because that's the whole point of a growth company. And yes, we get a lot of share price appreciation when people think that they're not going to raise. But the reality of the situation is, in other markets, especially in the US, they don't necessarily celebrate a raise, but they're in a situation where they're saying, okay, they need this money for this, so that's why we're doing it.
Yeah, I think if you can differentiate from why the if there's a good explanation of why the company's raising, like it's gone into a JV and it needs money to finance a joint venture for its commitments, let's say, then it's absolutely a no-brainer and it's the right thing to do. And also when potentially a company has a significant rise in its share price, then it makes sense to raise, you know, when the share price has gone up significantly, because ultimately there's less dilution there. You know, we see it so many times with these companies, the share price goes up and for whatever reason, they don't generate any extra capital. And then they have to raise at a significant discount. I mean, we'll talk about some of the stocks potentially, that one stock that springs to mind, which we'll come on to later as part of our list. But yeah, absolutely. And I heard your little rant about it on Jubilee's podcast that was done about 2 weeks ago, where obviously there was a lot of comments about another raise, you know, it's just diluting the company. But ultimately that was a raise for a significant reason.
Yeah, and it was a good raise. It was the right reason to do it, and it's going to make a lot more money than what they've raised. Yeah. So it was a good reason. But let's start at the bottom in our 12 stocks. We chose this stock, Helium One, okay? And we chose it as almost a wildcat drill, and we've learned our lesson in a big way. This stock is 96% down. Now, they've just raised, I think it was £5.6 million at 0.25. of one penny. When we did this, the price was 5.5p that we...
And they actually raised about 6 million, didn't they, in September of this year, only like 3 or 4 months ago,
yeah,
at 6p. I mean, can you imagine having... I mean, I feel in a way, I obviously feel for holders, and I also feel for the fact that they've been forced down there. Unfortunately, they experienced problems at the drilling site. There was all sorts of delays.
Well, in all honesty, the only problem they found is they didn't find any helium.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is, these drilling plays, these exploration plays, whether it be oil and gas, and obviously in the same way that this is helium, is effectively a drill rig, the same as an oil and gas. If you hit a duster, it will decimate a share price, won't it?
And yep. And I mean, from 5.5p, we went up to 9.8p. So yeah, we nearly doubled the share price here, and you could have got out with a handsome profit in this share. You could have. But the reality is, if you hung on for the drill results and what happened, and you're still hanging on in hope, then effectively your money has been decimated. And we are, you know, I'm not happy about that at all. But the reality is, we set a target of 17p, which was probably conservative. If they'd hit it, we would have been celebrating and be very, very happy. So these are the chances you take. Now, if we move to the second worst performer that we had, which is Prospect Energy, this one is unfathomable. I don't get it, right? We basically picked this at 13.5p. It went to a high of 19.5p or 19.25p. These are all weekly end closes, by the way, I think, not like the highest possible buy. They weren't producing gas in Italy, and they've also got Spanish assets. They are now. They are cash generative. They are profitable. They are probably going to be funding and getting, well, first they're getting rid of debt. And once all that debt is gone, they're then going to be funding the Selwa field to put three or four more gas options on this field. And still, as we speak now, the share price is now down at 5.2p. It's absolutely incredible.
It doesn't. And these were the ones, I think we said, didn't we, that the three that are actually the ones that were in production are the ones that have been, you know, performed not the worst, but certainly in the bottom five or six. And don't forget that you know, they've produced like 5.6 million cubic meters of gas produced, I think, under and then obviously sold that to the BP gas marketing with their joint venture partner, the Pole Valley operations. I mean, it's unfathomable that it went up to nearly 20 pence. And it finished the year, you know, in a better position with this Selwa field online, selling the gas to BP marketing, and you know, in a great position. But market doesn't appreciate it, really. So 5.2.
Yeah, the only thing I can fathom is that it was a bit of a proxy on the gas price, and the gas price went bananas, and everybody jumped on board, and the gas price has come back, but still to a very profitable level. So. Yeah, it's a very, 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 very strange one as far as I'm concerned. So the next one in the lower order, which was 50% down or 51% down, was Contango Holdings. Now, I haven't got a lot to say about this. They produced coal. They don't seem to have sold very much of it, and they're not telling anybody anything about it.
Yeah, I can't quite get my head around this one at all, really. I mean, there was an update on the 20th of December, so only like 4 or 5 days ago, and I think where it basically said it had received $116,000 from a large multinational company as payment for the previously reported circa 1,000-ton bulk sample of washed coke and coal. So they're selling the samples? I don't know. I don't know what it refers to, but I don't know. It seems I thought that there was sort of offtakes in place for this one.
I think it basically means that there hasn't been an offtake to this point. This is a test to see if they want the offtake. And then once the offtake happens, then we might be in a different game.
Yeah. I mean, they did announce, didn't they, that on, I think it was the 26th of October, that they were in, you know, in discussions with other potential offtake partners for both the coke and coal and industrial coal. So, and which would be complementary to any contract with MNC. So, yeah.
That brings us to the next one, which is Benn's Creek. Okay, so these two are the coal producers. And I say producers now. Benn's Creek was down 47%, finished at 11.25. And we picked that at 21.2 as what we thought was a very safe end game. You know, somebody's bought 29.9% of the company at 18p earlier in the year. The high for the year was 29p. So again, you could have made a profit, the same as Prospect Energy as well, which was also up in the year. Contango Holdings was probably the only one. It was slightly up at one point. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because we chose coal, and we thought Benn's Creek and Contango would do very well because the coal was going to be in demand. And what we said was absolutely true, because quite a lot of the coal producers, especially in the US, are at all-time highs.
Yeah.
And Benn's Creek...
Or Met Coal or stomping ahead.
Yeah.
Tunga.
Benn's Creek and Contango Holdings are at all-time lows.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? You know, it's not a good story. It's a different story, quite obviously. But the scenario with Benn's Creek now is it seems to be a mismatch now. They're producing coal. They're producing basically cash flow positive. The met coal price was up another $5 there. I think it was yesterday, was it? So it's up to $2.55 now for the high vol B. And every $5 that goes up, they're basically getting 80% of that at least as profit. So now it should start to really pump off the money or the profit from that. So it's hard to explain with Benn's Creek why it's so low. With Contango, I think the problem really is the revenue hasn't started coming in. And therefore, we've got a problem with it, you know. So, because obviously it's fixed cost. And again, they raised a lot of money, didn't they? At 6p, I think it was. So, yeah, we'll see where that goes. So, the next one is Jubilee Metals. What do you think about that, Phil? We picked it at 10.2p. It's finished at 6.35, 37% down.
Yeah, Jubilee are in a much, much better position. They've cleared a lot of the debt, and they've just announced those two tailing slash slag projects in Zambia. So they're very much focused on Zambia now. That's become their kind of like the jewel in the crown. They have backing joint venture announced with IRH, the Abu Dhabi based family fund, who you know, plenty of money to pour into that. The joint venture, the amount of copper that is in that Mopani and the Mufulira slag project is unbelievable. You know, when you look at the numbers there, they've done a very good joint venture on very good terms. Effectively, it's a 30%, if not slightly higher, free carry on that. They're going to be, you know, going over all the design and the implementation, which will happen over the next probably couple of years. But yeah, I just can't believe that the company, you know, when we talked about the stock, the price was around 10.2 pence. You can get in around probably, I think it finished the year around the 6.5 pence, 6.2 mark, something like that. You'll correct me in a minute, but I'm pretty much bang on around that 6 pence mark. So it's way down on what it was. And yeah, I think they're in a much, much better position now than they were a year ago.
Yeah, 6.35p, it finished on the 24th. Yeah, I've said it. Jubilee Metals, and I'll say it again, will be a £1 billion company in the next, let's stage it out a bit, 2 to 3 years, okay? And we certainly, I can't see with Zambia and the copper and the amount of copper. I mean, I don't think anyone can quite imagine the magnitude of the size of the copper that they're going to be starting to do. Zambia as a country wants to produce 3 million tons of copper. They're going to be producing in the region of 3 or 4% of that, in my view, within a year and a half, I think. And that's only the one project. That's without the other projects that they've got potentially as well. Yeah. Or not even potentially, they have got them.
Yeah, I think we summed it up when we said that the revenues of the company, certainly when they were about the 5p mark, which they dropped down to, they went into the late fours, but certainly when they were around the 5p, they had a market cap of around 145 to 150 million. The revenues each year are that. So you can't value a company, you know, on one times revenues. It just doesn't happen. You know, that was a thing that I noted, and I think Leon agreed with us when we talked to him. And yeah, just looking forward, like the projects that they're signing deals on in Zambia are phenomenal. We've been to site, we've seen the Kabwe operations, we've seen the copper cathode production and the bringing out of the electrolysis tanks and the cobalt production in these little circuits. And we talk about the Jubilee way, and it really is when you see the way that they build these modular plants in these concentrators and they get all of it working together like one big, it's phenomenal, all the different tanks and everything. It is so impressive to see. And I just think they're a really, really, really slick operation in the way they do things with the production of the copper and with the production of the cobalt. And I think that is one company that is going places for 24 and beyond. And yeah, it's good. And I think Leon gets a lot of stick. I think on the boards, there's a lot of comments that, you know, he's just dilating the company, he's never delivered and all. And actually, I think personally he has done very well. He's faced a lot of challenges this year with certainly the wet season and flooding in Zambia, and there's been a few little issues around the Inyoni projects, but I think he's dealt with them very well. Delays have been minimal and he's overcome them and he's come back stronger. So for me, Jubilee is a quality company.
Yeah. Okay. Next one, 33% down, finished the year at 10p. Started the year at 15p was BSF Enterprises, and that meat that we went and tasted.
Yeah, that you tasted. I mean, it's another one that's, I don't know what, is it like a slight lack of news flow, but they've had some good news flow. They've had some really good grants coming out this year. They've obviously had the meat, you know, the tasting session, which we went to, and we saw the fanfare around that. They've been to the US. They've had the roadshow over there. The price did get up to into the 20s, I think, as you said there, like
21.4p. So if you'd sold at the right time, you would have made a nice profit.
It dropped earlier in the year to something crazy, back almost to the IPO levels around the 6.5-7 pence mark. So actually, there was a really big sort of spike in that run up from 7p to the 20p range, and it did it within about a month.
Yeah, and I think this company has a lot of chances to do well. It has challenges as well, but I think it did a huge raise at 17p. It's got a very long runway now. It's got the City Mix revenue that should start to rank up as it as it moves along, sort of a snowball, which should produce more and more revenue inside the company. And it's all going to be about joint ventures with other companies producing their different products. I think if we knew the names that they were involved with, I think in the leather and in other areas, I think people would have a very different view of this company, because I think those names would change people's attitude in terms of its potential. Now, obviously, those names are not public knowledge, but, you know, it's quite obvious that there are huge fashion houses in France anyway for the leather. So we will see. It's sort of hard to judge what's going to happen with the company, but I think it's got a much, much more solid base than it had a year ago.
Yeah.
And I think it's going places.
I think that it's interesting because everybody thinks it's just 3D biotissues, which is the meat element. But obviously, you know, they're effectively an investment company, you know, biotech company, and an owner of the aforementioned 3D biotissues, and obviously the corneal tissue company, Curato. Basically, they entered into a term sheet. I don't know if you saw you will have seen the ONS. It was about 8th of December. They entered into a term sheet for an exclusive joint venture with Cellular Revolution, who are a leader in continuous cell manufacturing, which is going to help develop a new food tech company focused on developing and offering to the market an end-to-end solution for manufacturing cultivated meat at a scale. So that was exciting. And I think the market pretty much largely missed that one, that it's not just that 3D biotissues. They've got the Curato, and they've also got this new JV with this Cultivated Meat Technologies Limited to build a new company effectively. So I think that looks promising.
Yep, absolutely. It does. Now, we've gone past all the stocks, which is six of them, that have lost more than 30%. Okay. And now we move into an area where, to be honest, depending on the day we picked the price, some of these could be level. The next three could quite easily be not up, not down, just level. But they are showing us 15% down, 10% down, and 9% down on our actual figures. But really all about trading in terms of this. The first one would be Galileo Resources, which having interviewed Colin many times, and we spoke to the Zambian guys recently as well, very recently, with the cash and the shares and the assets that Galileo has, I have no comprehension why Galileo is still worth what it is, because it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Can you shed any light on it, Phil? Because it makes no sense to me.
No, I can't.
13 million pound company with probably £6-7 million worth of assets inside it, maybe even a bit more, and assets which are wonderful. I know you know more about them than I do, so go for it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they've had the Shinganda results in 2023. They had a lot of drilling. They further extended Shinganda. They also had the MRE for the Luan Sobe project. They only had, don't forget, the Glenover sale, which, you know, obviously the cash element of things coming in, which I think was to the tune of about £4-5 million equivalent. Maybe slightly higher than that, actually, but I've not got the stats in front of me. There certainly was a significant sum of money that would have been, you know, due to...
Yeah, it turned out to be cash and stock in the end, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Then, obviously, they had the very interesting update and a new discovery on the Kamativi lithium project, which we're going to go and see in Zimbabwe in probably February of next year. So that will be another one to look forward to. And they've just had so many, you know, updates on Bulawayo, gold targets identified there, obviously more pegmatite intersections at the Kamativi project. Lots of, as you say, they've talked about the Zambian exploration license joint venture in Zambia, because obviously it seems that Colin Bird is building up, you know, he's got the various different, we've got Africa Pioneer, we've got Extract Resources, who have also moved in Zambia, and it seems like he's building up the portfolio. He's building up a portfolio of Zambian assets within each one of those companies that he's got, right? So yeah, I think from a company that's got a market cap of about just shy of 13 million pounds, with the cash position they're in and the quality of the projects that they've got, you know, across those different areas and within Zimbabwe, Zambia, and wider afield, that it does look very exciting for a company.
Yeah. And then in that same situation is also African Pioneer, so we might as well talk about that. We picked that at 2.2p. It finished at 2, but actually all week it's been 2.2p. So it's bizarre that now we look at the figure, it's 2. So pretty much not moved as far as I'm concerned in terms of that. You know, for me, the opportunity here is mind-boggling.
Yeah, I think if they can deliver, or they not deliver because they're already delivering, but it basically the three assets or the three different countries, jurisdictions that they have within this, you've got Namibia, you've got Zambia, and you've got Botswana. Now, if we park Namibia and Botswana for a minute and just focus on that jewel, which is Zambia again. They've got these exploration activities ongoing with First Quantum, which started in Q1 of 2023, and they've been doing plenty of drilling. The drill bit is currently still turning, despite the fact that it's going into the rainy season, because we spoke to Colin earlier on that one, didn't we? And basically, they've done a 3D model of the Western Foreland. They've got this Kamoa, Kakula, and Kolwezi-style mineralization that runs through, which is effectively from the DR Congo, which borders onto it, and it runs into it. So you've got massive amount of, you know, you've got the Sentinel mine there, you've got, you know, First Quantum have also got another mine there, and they're seeing similarities across, right across into the licensing area of where First Quantum and African Pioneer have got their projects. And there's continuing, as I say, that there's plenty more drilling to come. The assays are there's plenty of assay results to come in the new year. And the one thing that the market missed, and this is the significant RNS for me, which was released in late October, which completely was missed, was that First Quantum basically exercised their option over the two key exploration licenses, which initiated an earning period with the first of the earning periods. And they've basically identified crucial structural architecture which resembles that deposit, as I mentioned, in the DRC, the Kamoa Kakula style deposit. And they've got an extension as well on the until the end of January or mid-January for them to assess the prospectivity of the other two licenses within that exploration area. So ultimately, First Quantum like what they see. They've initiated the earning and the market has completely missed it, and it's finished the year flat at 2p, and it should be, you know, the market cap of probably 4.5-5 million quid. I can't understand how you can have a company that's got a joint venture with not only First Quantum but with Sandfire as well that has not moved on this news that a major one of the, I think like the fourth largest mining company in the world, First Quantum, have effectively happy with what they've seen and they've initiated the earning. It just doesn't compute.
Absolutely. And I mean, it was a high of 3.7 in the year. So again, you could have got 70% out of this if you'd gone in at 2.2 and sold. But, you know, for me, this has got all the writings of an absolute portfolio maker. If you don't have any African Pioneer, I'm telling you now, buy some. Because this year, I think, could be transformational. We thought it was going to come last year, but obviously rate things take...
A year isn't a lot, is it, in a junior exploration life, you know? And you're also at the mercy of the fact that the major are, you know, First Quantum are reporting on a quarterly basis, so you're going to get 4 updates a year. Drilling is going ahead. They you know, from by all accounts, they like what they see, from the RNS quarterly reports which we've seen. And ultimately, a year, as I said to you, is not a long time. You know, this has got to be seen as a 2 to 5 year play, and like most junior investment or any investment, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. Yes, there might be wild swings where you see some profit takers, but ultimately, and it did rise at one point. I remember talking earlier this year where African Pioneer was the best performer on this portfolio or on the 12 stocks.
Yeah, it was. You're right.
So ultimately, yeah, it happens, and it's back to 2 pence. We were saying that 2.2p, so you could say that it's parity, as you said. The target was 6p. If someone offered you 6p for your shares now, would you take them?
No.
No. I think it's got the possibility and the propensity to do many, many, many multiples.
Well, actually, I'd take the 6p and then invest it all in African Pioneer at 2.2p. Yeah, but I know what you're asking.
What I'm saying is if someone came along or that there was potentially some form of buyout of this company at 6p, the target that we'd identified, I think you would say not on your life would I take
that. No, I'd be on the phone to Colin Bird saying, Colin, why are you giving this away?
Yeah.
You know, so...
Let's move on to the next one.
Okay, the next one, which again, if I'd taken the price 2 days ago, we would have been up or parity. So again, we're looking at it. It's currently finished at 10% down, but the trade an hour ago or so before this was again, I think at parity or close, is Technology Minerals. We recommended a 1.4. It hit a high during the year of 2.5p. Again, another company, in my view, is extremely undervalued in terms of what it has. It's got all of its licenses now for the lithium ion and the lead acid batteries. It's got one factory of each. It now needs to get producing and the revenue from the gate fees and from this black mass, which they now want to separate or scale up, which is going to be four times as profitable for them over the next year. They have many mining assets as well, including lithium and cobalt, I think it is, and I think possibly a copper one as well. And all, you know, you basically get all of that package. And it comes back to the same argument that we had before, that their revenue next year, their free cash flow, not revenue, their free cash flow next year will be more than the market capitalization of this company is right now. There's obviously things holding it back. We've got the RTO, basically this company will become Recyclers Group as a whole instead of calling itself Tech Minerals.
I'll get the ticker right this time because there's a bit. It's going to be RG1, I believe, and I might get that wrong, but I'm pretty sure that it's RG1 is the ticker, that that's what the ticker will be.
RG1.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be RG1, I think.
RG1, yeah. So, I mean, ultimately... absolutely right. I agree. I think Technology Minerals, I think 2024 will be transformational for the company. And I think it's a little bit unfair because earlier in the week, the sort of last few trading sessions of 2023 saw the stock price move up to, I think 1.5 was paid. So I'm going to take that as a parity, as a knockdown. I think that it finished on Christmas Eve or the previous days, 2 days trading before then, at 1.2875, 1.3 effectively. So it's pretty much on parity. And as you just said, I think that there has been some delays. They've been at the mercy of the EA, Environmental Agency approval, and that has that's held them back probably 8 to 10 months in terms of getting things rolling and getting the commissioning done and things like that. Commissioning probably took a little bit longer than anticipated, but you know what? I'd rather they get it right and were, you know, properly doing things properly and getting the nitrogen cylinders in place rather, you know, and the actual proper gas installation rather than just relying on cylinders in place and, you know, funneling the gas in. So there's been a lot of tweaks needed. We visited the site twice. We saw it in November of 22. We went back in almost a year. I think it was probably about July, August time to visit the...
Yeah, we went with Jonathan Swan, didn't we? Who'd been one of the big investors, who has obviously helped this company immensely with two or three different funding options. So
I'll let Jim and say, thanks, Jonathan, because you certainly have helped here. And, you know, it's the company, you've helped them move forward probably at a faster pace than they would have done and with less dilution.
For sure, I think with less dilution ultimately, because at one point when the first finances came in, there was the original finance deal that they had, which they were, that company was basically just selling it down. And that's why it went down to about 0.75, having been at a high of 2.5. So I think it's like on the cusp of something big. And again, I don't want to over egg things, but this company is going to be worth hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds going forward. So,
and I think what I would say is any shareholders who couldn't make the AGM, because obviously they ran the AGM last week on something like the 19th of December, and ultimately lots couldn't attend because it was midweek. You know, I appreciate some people can't get the time off, or, you know, they just can't get out of the job, especially around that time of year. So if anyone wants to go, contact us and we will try and arrange something in the new year, because as Robin Brundle alluded to on a recent podcast, he talked about the AGM and he said that people, everybody who visits that Libat site comes away with a big smile on the face, because it is impressive to see this, the crusher and the way that all the you know, they load the conveyor belts, and they're going to increase it from the 2.5 tons manually per hour up to try and get it up to the 5 tons per hour. And once you see that, and the way that they pen all these metals, all these batteries into these different pens, and it is impressive. So if anyone wants to do that, reach out on the Telegram sites and we'll try to raise something in the year, because I do encourage shareholders to go and see what they're actually investing in. It makes perfect sense to go and see the site, doesn't it? And meet the board, meet Alex, meet Robin, because they're very nice guys. You know, they're affable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so now we move into the era of the winners. Okay, in third place and bronze, which actually could have been Teck Minerals, it could have been African Pioneer, but it was finally Greatland Gold and our friend Sean. He was taking his win that they were up for the year. They're up 3.13% at 8.25 instead of the 8p that we said. If you go back a week or two, they were 11.5p. So that would have been quite a decent chunk of profit, 40%. The end of the day,
like, it's mad. It's like they were up, as you say, to the 11.5p mark, you know, but they dropped back. But bizarrely, they released the Hover on Mineral Resource estimate, which saw an increase of additional 2 million ounces of gold added to their, you know, to the MRE, and it dropped back from the sort of 11.5p or 11 pence range to the, I think you finished the year about, as you say, about 8.3, 8.2 pence, slightly up on the year. He'll take his win. You handed him his, you gave him his bronze medal, didn't you, earlier on when we talked to him, and he was very happy with that. Wasn't very happy, but you take the win on it, as you say, ultimately. But it's mad. 23 has been a transformational year for them as well. So you just go through some of the highlights: debt funding, farming joint venture with Rio Tinto, drilling completion at Paterson South, Ernest Child land access agreement and commencement of drilling there, nickel prospectivity at Panorama, plus all the excitement of the Newcrest takeover. And then, as you say, about last week, they announced the increase of the Havieron MRE to 8.4 million ounces, up some 2 million ounces. So what a year it's been for them, and it should be way higher than it is at the end of the year, right?
Yeah, I think so. And next year, not looking forward too much, but next year's, you know, going to be top of the ore body and probably first ore either late next year or early into 2025. But actually, the prospectivity of many of their other projects is pretty damn good.
Yeah,
you know,
mentioned Telfer in there, as we as well. You know, they've got a massive amount of projects.
There is big potential, and I think it's in extremely capable hands with Sean Day. He's a great guy and also knows his stuff. He really does know his stuff. So, that's good. Okay, so in silver place is Sovereign Metals, which started the year at 23 pence and has finished the year at 24.5 pence, up 6.5%. Now, we met Sapan, the COO of Sovereign Metals, when we were in London a few weeks ago. And, you know, the excitement in him and the excitement of this project, you know, shines through. It's massive. This is a massive project for Rutile, you know, producing that titanium dioxide through the rutile. It's easily got through water cannons, if you like, producing the mining, and also huge amounts of graphite as well. Yeah. And originally they were going after the graphite, and then they found the rutile and went, wait a minute, we've got a whole new game here. They've got a joint venture project with Rio Tinto. Again,
so it's an investment, isn't it?
It's not a JV.
$20 million investment from Rio
Tinto. Yeah, for 15% of the company, I think it was. So Rio's put their money where their mouth is and their technical ability to go down to Kasia in Malawi. It's one project that we were going to visit, I think, but didn't quite work out last year. And hopefully this coming year we will visit. And yeah, 6.5% up for the year. We had a target of 48p, I think it was. The year higher for it was 30.5p. Why it isn't higher, I don't know, to be honest.
I think it hit like, I think the previous year it went up to sort of mid-40s, maybe even early, you know, late 40s. Maybe.
Yeah, I think it was 48 because effectively that was why we chose it last year, because that was the high point from 2022. Look, the NPV on this project is 1.6 billion.
Yeah.
Okay, that means net present value. Net present value. What does that mean? The value it should be now, okay? And effectively net present value, it's valued at less than, I think, 8% of the net present value is the market capitalization.
And it's got an IRR of like 28%, which is very, very, very good in this industry.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a world-class asset for 20, 30, 40 years. I have Rio bought 15% of Sovereign Metals just to sit there and go, okay, you go ahead and do it all, and we'll take 15% of the profit. Have the heck. Basically, Rio are going to probably buy these guys out at some point. So if you want something that possibly is going to have some action, this could be one of them. But 2023, solid year, but really it didn't move in the way that it should have with all the things that happened. And now, drum roll.
In gold position.
The gold medal goes to your friend and mine, Mr. Callum Summerton at Chilbrands, with a stonking 135% return in the year. We quoted it at 2p, finished at 4.7p. A week ago, it was 6p, so it would have been 200%.
Yeah, 6 months ago, it was, or 3 months ago, it was 13.5 or 14.
And the high point was 13.5p, which was a return of, 550%? Why it's as low as 4.7 now, we'll never know, because they've just launched into one of the largest supermarkets in the United Kingdom. They've just done a deal with the distributor for BP, Shell and Esso petrol stations. They are now in over 2,300 stores. They've got £2.1 million, including VAT, of revenue on the books that will be paid on distribution of the products. And that probably is at worst a quarterly figure, because they only started doing this in August of this year.
Yeah.
So again, it's beyond comparison in terms of the profitability of these products, in terms of the vapes. It's also got the marketplace, which I fully expect will expand drastically again in 2024. But 2023 is transformational. Seems to be in the right hands with Callum.
Callum's come on board, it's completely transformed the company. I mean, when you think of Chill, when it got valued, it went into the pounds, you know, when it literally didn't have any revenue figures. The fact is, he's come on board, he's turned it around, he's got an actual quality product now that people, you know, that he's actually rolling out, as you say, into big name household names that we know, you know, and as you say, that the forecourt deal that was announced earlier this week, we have the WH Smith travel stores which were announced, which was an absolute game changer, and also the Amazon side of things as well online. So, and you know, who knows what sort of levels of profits and revenues that could generate. So very much looking forward to the actual profits, you know, hopefully will be announced, whether that's as you say, quarterly or half yearly results. I'm sure we'll see some form of results in 2024. And for me, yeah, I see massive potential in the vape space. Obviously, it's got some challenges which Callum's adapting to with the tank, and the fact you can, you know, if they ban the single use, he's got the refill element of things, which is phenomenal. And we'll see how things go in terms of regulatory hurdles that they might have to get over. But as you say, it's not a one trick pony. You've also got the marketplace, which seems to be, you know, he's expanding it up to about 40 brands. He's aiming to get probably a couple of hundred on there within the next 6 to 8 months. So it all looks very, very good. And I think 24 should be, again, a transformational year from where we are now for Chill Brands.
Yep. So overall, we look at the overall picture. And I mean, we congratulate Chill Brands on being number one. The portfolio as a whole, we said we're going to keep you up to date throughout the year. And we have. Portfolio in the first quarter was up about 27%, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
And we have ended the year, sadly, at 18% down. Now, I can accredit 10% of that to Helium One, sadly,
yeah,
because of its demise. And that goes to show you what can happen when you're in a wildcat drilling type investment. I think we've learned our lesson.
Yeah.
In terms of the 12 stocks.
And I think investors have learned that you can't build a portfolio on effectively a flip of a coin, binary play. Yes, you can put a small punt in, you know, a very small, but to put in 1/12 of your portfolio, which is what this would be, is probably, it's too high to leverage again. So ultimately, going forward, any picks will be, you know, companies that are either revenue generative or close to becoming revenue generative in that year,
or have more than one product, more than one asset. So the fact is that Helium One doesn't have anything else, I don't believe, anyway.
But it's got multiple gas helium targets. But yeah, it's all within that similar Rukwa basin. But you're absolutely right.
And yeah, and whether you like it or not, I don't want to sound like I'm on my soapbox, but they were at point one, sorry, they were at 1p, then they drifted down to 0.75, and then the board basically took it upon themselves to raise at 0.25p, £5.6 million, and dilute the original shareholders by 65-70%. Like, sorry, hang your head,
you
shit.
You can't do it.
I understand they needed that money for the next drill, but really, unbelievable. I mean, just total destruction of value. Now, will it come back? Could you make a profit from 0.025? Well, it's not for me, that's for sure. Yeah. But could it? Yes, it could.
Yeah.
Only if when they drill the next time, they find helium and they can bring it to the surface in quantity.
Absolutely.
If they can't, this company's going out of business.
Yeah. So I think what we'll have to say is, obviously, keep you know we're going to be doing the 12 stocks for 12 days of Christmas for 2024, and they'll go out from tomorrow, Christmas Day. So keep your eyes out for those. They'll be popping up on the usual platforms, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll do 12 different company interviews. So you listen out for the board. You know, maybe you hold them already, but it'll be for you to decide or to see whether some of these companies or how many of them remain on the list and actually make it into the 2024 list. Please keep your eyes out for that. And then what we will do is, in the new year, we will then do a review of those stocks and talk about them and the ongoing news that should be coming.
Yeah. And very quickly, because we're not going to waste a lot of time on it, we're going to cover the 5 gold rings that we picked last year. Now, these were stocks that we saw as, you could possibly put a wildcat drill in our 5 gold rings. Now, we have to say, in hindsight, we made a mistake with Helium 1, but, you know, you live and you learn. If you'd taken out the money at Helium 1's high point, which was 9.8p, you would have been sitting pretty. But at the end of the day, you didn't. Okay, so we have some not so good performers in this, and we have one standout winner, we believe. And that was, though, we'll go from bottom to top again. Worst performing one was Alchemy Capital. We picked it at 280 pence. It's now 100 pence. So it has lost 64% of its valuation.
And it hit a 52-week high of circa around 288. So it really was at that kind of that year high when that was in February. So
probably finished at 105, not 100, but either way, not good. Minus 63%. Still, the proposition of this company, I really, 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 really like, but they don't have the capital to do it.
Yeah.
So unless they get the capital to do it, and there is a movement, maybe both politically and from the movers and shakers in terms of these companies, not sure it's going to happen. Same guy's been running Pensana, still haven't got the finance. A year later, we met that gentleman down in Indaba in February, and they'd already been waiting over a year for the finances then. We're another year on, still no finance done, and Alchemy Capital, sadly, is in the same situation.
Yeah.
Will they get the finance? If they do, this is going to rocket.
Yeah.
It's going to go to the moon.
I think they've secured some vendor partnerships in the last sort of 2 or 3 months as they drive towards this the development of the lithium processing plant at Wilton. Preferred vendor status to industry leaders Jord, Proxa, and Eurodia. So there's been some good news coming in, but as you say, it's all down to financing. I think Charles talked about this, didn't he, when he was last on, that with British Volt having their government funding pulled and everything like that, a lot of people, their appetite for this sort of thing has been on the decline, hasn't it? So unfortunately, it's waning. But they also announced a lithium feedstock agreement as well, which I thought was really, really good, with the international trading house Wogan Resources to supply 20,000 tons annually, which would obviously be enough for the first train at Wilton for the initial period of 5 years. So there has been some good news on the feedstock and the partnerships, but as you say, until they get that definitive funding in place and an announcement how they're going to fund it and get this everything built up and first train going and the lithium feedstock, then ultimately it's hanging in the balance, isn't it? But certainly the potential there going forward is huge.
Okay, so the next one in terms of performance was East Star Resources, down 51%, finished at 155.
I'll let you take this one.
152. Yeah, I mean, this was definitely my pick. That's why Phil's telling me to take this one. I believe there was a major faux pas in this. They needed cash during the year. They didn't take it when they should have took it. They took eventually when it was at 1.5p, the funding, which was a lot more dilution than was required. Is there upside in this stock? Absolutely 100%. The copper looks very, very attractive. It should be within the next 2 years that this could become a producer. More drilling has to take place to confirm and up the JORC on the copper. But when we talked about this a year ago, it had three options. That was the gold, the rare earth, and the copper, all in Kazakhstan. Rare earth gone quiet, doesn't look like it's going to be viable. The gold, going to take a lot. Gold is there, but in what quantities, we don't know. So now this is simply a copper play. And that doesn't mean it's bad, but ultimately, that's what you're buying now. You're buying a copper play. The copper play works, then many more assets can be looked upon within Kazakhstan. But in terms of its year, very poor performing. And then the next one, which is 46% down, is Extract Resources. Tell us what you think, Phil.
Yeah, I mean, a difficult one really, isn't it, to assess? I mean, I think that Bushranger news may be not quite what people or shareholders expected from it in terms of the tonnage maybe, and it being, I'm not saying it's not a tier one asset, but do you know what I mean? Like, I think there was expectations on what it was, and it maybe didn't hit the expectations of what the market wanted. But now there seems to be the focus has been moving into Zambia. You've got Kikuyu, they've got also the announcement of the Northwest assets as well, which have been added, you know, very close to the ones with the aforementioned, you know, the African Pioneer and the Galilea Resources assets, which seems to be the real sweet spot in that part of Zambia for the likes of clear to very close to the Mopani mine, which Abu Dhabi IRH have just invested $1.1 billion into for a 51% interest in the state and government-owned Mopani mine, which is massive. I think going forward, I think it's the potential is there for Extract. I think it needs a bit more clarity on where things are going in terms of the Bushranger and the Racecourse project, and obviously and what we can expect from the Zambian assets.
But for the revenue producing gold asset that they have.
And we haven't even mentioned Fairbright.
Yeah. You know, it's worth £8 million as a collective. The revenue from the gold pour is significant. I don't have the figures to hand, but it's significant. And that asset alone in terms of the gold has to be worth more than the £8 million. Has to be.
I think
has to be. There isn't a doubt.
Fairbright.
Now, so the scenario with Extract is there's been a lot of disappointment. I think there's been a lot of expectation, as you say, that this is, you know, much bigger deal than it was going to be. But ultimately, I think Bushranger has come out on the basis that unless the copper price is higher, it probably doesn't make a lot of sense to carry on with Bushranger. So it's not a no. It's just a not now. But obviously that doesn't add any value. But certainly when we talk about Zambia and we talk about what's ahead in terms of the gold assets that they have and other assets that they have, I think for the valuation that Extract currently has, it's not a fair valuation, I don't think. Okay, so let's move on now to these two stocks actually finished slightly higher. And the first one was Conroy Gold. Started the year at 14.5p, finished at 14.6p, which is like 1%, maybe less than 1%.
I have nothing to say.
I have nothing to say other than this is a ridiculous valuation.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. It's crazy to have two. I mean, we were speaking with Sean Day about this one, from Greatland Gold, and we explained to him that they have potential resource of 25 million ounces along a 65-kilometer strike in Ireland. And now they found another strike, which is 24 kilometers long, and they found visible gold at 123.5 grams per ton. And Clay Lake looks like it's an absolute monster of a resource that could be, you know, the size of Havieron in terms of 8.5 million ounces of gold. And it just needs to be dug up because it's going to be an open pit to 200 meters, and it could go deeper and have more gold deeper. So, like, when are people going to get it? It's screaming gold. It's an island. It's not happening. I don't know. Let's see. And the winner of the 5 gold rings was Blenco Resources, graphite play in Uganda, up 10% for the year. And again, was higher than this. Got a $5 million grant, I believe, from the US government to do the DFS. And still, the valuation doesn't come. Yeah. It's like bizarre.
I mean, it was up. I think it finished the year around 4.2 to 6.25, and it finished at 4.78 was the last trade. So it's up a bit, you know, it's done well. But they received the first tranche, didn't they? That $1 million was the latest announcement, which was announced in the middle of December, sort of 11th of December. And they basically confirmed that they had received that tranche of the $1 million, which was the grant from DFC. And they were also ongoing. That million was received in October, but there was a DFS update which came in where they said that they'd successfully completed the excavation and preparation for export of an additional 600-ton bulk sample. Test work was nearing completion. The further test work on expanding nearing completion by leading US graphite producers. So lots of work going on at Orem Cross there. And yeah, graphite play, what can you say? I mean, it's another one of those stocks that's still with the market cap of about sub 10 million, it's cheap, isn't it?
Sure is. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really know what to say other than congratulations, you were the top pick. But, yeah, you know, you should have been much higher, that's for sure. And I think it goes to say with all of those 5 picks, they got penalized like very badly for things that didn't happen for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not bad companies anyway.
No, we'll wrap things up. It's Christmas Eve, and you know, in true bloke style, I've got to now go out and do the shopping to get all the presents in, you know, find some bargains on the high street. But ultimately, we'll say thanks very much for listening this year. If you like what you've heard, then please hit the subscribe and the bell icon as well, so you get further notifications of any new podcasts, usually through Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And just keep your eye out for those podcasts for the 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas, which will be released tomorrow, starting tomorrow on the 25th on Christmas Day, running right through until the 3rd of January 2024. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see if there's a stock that you hold or have an interest in which is on that list. So we just once again say thanks very much for listening. Yeah, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and a very prosperous 2024.
Okay, again, thank you all for listening. Wish you a Merry Christmas and a very happy, prosperous, fruitful New Year. And we look forward to presenting you with more and more interviews next year. And yeah, again, thank you very much.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.